Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Institute for Personal Development, where total consciousness is the new frontier. Kriya Yoga is the union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices that initiate this process.
Well, good morning and welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Well, good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. And how about you?
I'm doing great as well on this chilly fall day that we're having here in Hampton. Well, I want to thank the listeners for tuning in. And today on the Voice of Yoga, we will be discussing the full moon in Taurus. We will connect this transit with the solar eclipse from May 9, 2013, and to show how the full moon phase of a solar eclipse brings the intentions into full visibility. Swami will explain the 2-year, 2-month, and 28-day cycle of a solar eclipse as a gestation period for the rebirthing of a new consciousness. So, Swami, let's get started. I think maybe our listeners need to find out, well, what does it mean when we have the full moon in Taurus?
Well, the full moon is a moon opposition the sun. So the sun is in Scorpio right now, and so as the moon goes 180 degrees from it, and today it will be at 14 degrees Taurus, the sun is at 14 degrees Scorpio. So the full moon is exactly that. It's 180 degrees. And when something is 180 degrees from it, you are what they call in opposition. But you have full view of your opposition. And so the full moon has always typically been considered the delivery point of the beginning of the new moon, which was where it was what they called a conjunction. And when it's a conjunction, you don't see anything. And then there's the first quarter phase, and then the full moon, and then all of the different sequences or phases of the moon as, you know, as it starts to go 360 degrees. But the full moon in Taurus will have strong implications because the moon is exalted in Taurus. The moon does very well in Taurus, so it's a positive full moon.
When you say it does well in Taurus, why does it do well in Taurus?
Yeah, the whole relationship between a planet and a sign is kind of like an actor or an actress in a role. That when a particular planet is in a zodiacal sign that it's comfortable with, you know, that it's something that comes more naturally to it. Like the moon rules Cancer, so that's its ruling position. But it is what they call exalted in Taurus, you know, which is its like second most favorable position.
Now, I know we're going to go much deeper than, the astrological signs and things like that, but I do have a question for you. So you mentioned Taurus and Scorpio. So say a person was born in Taurus, or they have the Scorpio as their sign. Does this full moon have any different effect on those people as opposed to if it wasn't their particular sign?
Well, to answer your question, yes. That's what they call an aspect. And that's what, when you're using your chart, that's one of the things that you look for. You know, what we call transits to natal positions. Natal positions are the snapshot of where the planets were at the time of your birth with you at the center of the universe. That's a geocentric natal chart. And when the planets are, you know, continuously moving through the zodiac, when they come into what's called aspect. See, astrology is basically a mathematical science. It's the relationship based on the angles, the configurations, what we call aspects. And the aspect itself has an effect. So, say, for example, if you have your sun or any planet that is in Taurus, and this full moon falls on that, it's like a flashlight effect. It will amplify whatever it is the planet that you have will bring it to the foreground in your life.
Oh, yeah, very interesting. Now, would it have the same effect for somebody who was born under the Scorpio sign?
Well, then the aspect would be in opposition. And to answer your question, it wouldn't have the same effect because a conjunction and an opposition are different aspects, but it would have an effect. And then, of course, it would have everything that is associated with the zodiacal sign of Taurus, and then whatever planet it is that is in your chart, but it would also have the effect of the moon, right? Now, the moon, like one of the things we always talk about, the moon is the principle of manifestation. It's the mother archetype. It's how we put things into form. It's how we protect. It's how we nurture what it is that we've put into form. So the moon is, you know, an important planet, you know, with regard to how we're going to create things, how we're going to manifest things.
It sounds like you're talking about one of the houses as well. What house would that fall under?
Well, because the moon rules Cancer in the natural zodiac, Cancer would be on the cusp of the fourth house. So it would be related to home, hearth, again, how you nurture yourself, how you protect yourself.
So then everything is really all connected when you put it all together. That's really amazing. But I know you probably want to get into the two-year, two-month, 28-day cycle. And what is that bringing up for us right now?
Well, with regard to this particular transit, this particular full moon, which we are having tomorrow at 5:23 p.m., this particular full moon is what we call the full moon phase of the solar eclipse that happened on May 9th, 2013. Which that actually happened at 19 degrees Taurus, 31 minutes. But the two-year, two-month, and 28-day cycle of a solar eclipse is something that we use with regard to the whole concept of a gestation period for the growth of positive consciousness. You know, just like the human organism, you know, reproduces on a nine-month cycle that you know, once the egg is impregnated, it has a gestation period before, you know, you can expect the birth of a new individual. The solar eclipse gives us clues into this birth of, you know, the human from being of a lower vibration to the human of being of this higher vibration. And once you've impregnated the seed of consciousness, once you have rebirthed your body in the life force, then there is a two-year, two-month, and 28-day period where you mind is actually growing in a positive direction. You are becoming divine. You know, the whole thing of what we call apotheosis, this process of the human becoming divine. And so matter, mind, and spirit are all in sync. Now the gestation period that would have begun on May 9th, 2013, would now be in what we call the full moon phase, which, if you look at that cycle, the new moon is the seed is in the ground. Then the first quarter phase of that particular cycle would have been on February 6th, 2014. Because that was when we had the first quarter moon that was in Taurus that correspond with that eclipse point. That's when, if you are growing psychologically and spiritually, that's when you would get first kind of visibility of that. And so the whole thing is now that seed is now like a little sprout. It breaks ground. Now you can kind of see what it is that had begun. Now when it's in the full moon phase, which would be tomorrow, on 11/7/14, or actually this one will be on 11/6, but depending on where you are on the planet, you know, it's wherever your time zone is, that's when this cycle is in full view. So that sprout now becomes a flower. And then the third quarter phase is when that seed, that flower, will start to wilt and start to send new seeds into the ground. And what's interesting is typically everything is on, you know, our cycles within cycles. And that's why, you know, month to month, all of these different phases of the moon, you know, they're everything is happening within this framework of, you know, the seed is in the ground, you know, it sprouts, it flowers, it wilts, and then new seeds come into the ground. You know, even say, for example, in our system of yoga, we use a thing called pranayama, which is the relationship between your number one life-sustaining force, thought, and your number two life-sustaining force, breath. And that, you know, on your inhalations and your exhalations, that gives you clues into how your mind is working, that the duration of a breath equals the duration of a thought. And with each inhale and each exhale, you're actually changing your thoughts.
So that leads me to another question. So I wonder, when we talk about, you know, the seeds in the ground and then the seed sprouts and it grows and whatever, so is all of that happening to us unconsciously or karmically? And then I guess the real trick would be to determine if that's happening or if we can work with that on a conscious level, like consciously know that the seed is in the ground, consciously know if it's sprouted and grown and has wilted and providing more seeds. So is it conscious, unconscious, or karmic?
Well, to answer your question, everything is doing that simultaneously. At any given moment, you have conscious aspects, you have unconscious aspects, and you have karmic aspects. The variable is going to be regulated based on your level of consciousness and your degree of awareness. See, the whole thing about this gestation period of growing the mind in a positive direction, this thing called apotheosis, is all about expanding the conscious mind, the opening of the mind. The term we use is called transcending, where your field of awareness transcends the limits of body-bound awareness. And even as your mind is growing, because mind isn't limited to our bodies, that's one of the biggest things that you have to understand when you practice Kriya Yoga, that in fact, the body is in the mind and the mind is in the spirit. And so the process of reverse engineering this whole experience is literally transcending the limits of body-bound awareness, expanding your identity into this aspect that we call mind or the astral plane or your astral body, and then eventually accessing what is called the causal spiritual body. And in astrology, the way that we use that is we have what we call the personal planets that are associated with your chakras, that up to the planet Saturn, we can see the planets with our naked eye. Those personal planets, those seven personal planets, Saturn, Jupiter, Mars, Venus, Mercury, the Sun, the Moon, and did I say Jupiter? Okay. They are associated with your chakras, but up to Saturn, we can see them. Beyond Saturn, those were what was called the transpersonal planets, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto. And basically, they are the higher octave of these lower energy centers. But everything is going to be conscious, and the biggest variable is going to be how much of my reality is inside my field of awareness. Because that's one of the things we always talk about, is when our minds are small, we do feel like victims, that everything is happening to us. And that's where the practice of Kriya Yoga is all about, impregnating the seed of your mind. This requires you to rebirth your body in the life force. And then when this happens, matter and mind come together with new information. You know, that's the physics of spirituality. That's like attracts like. That's why, you know, we view scriptures as instruction to do something as opposed to something to believe in and fight for.
All right, that's a great place to pause. So what I would like to do is we're going to take a few moments to hear a word from our sponsors, and we will return with you shortly.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudashyate.
If you are looking for a samadhi-based experience, IPD Kriya Yoga has the goods, a complete yoga program that includes the practices and the process. Starting with the separation from mother, including the labors and tasks of the hero and the return as a whole person. Practice makes perfect only when practice is whole. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. Samadhi, or total consciousness, is experienced by knowing and doing with devotion. Call or click now and get started. 603-929-0303 or www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste.
Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you are listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. I just wanted to pause from our radio show. I know we have quite a few callers on today, and I wanted to open up any questions to the callers that we have listening to our program today. Does anybody have any questions for Swami regarding our content today?
Hello.
Hi. How are you?
Hi. I'm fine.
What is your name?
Diane.
Hi, Diane.
And I so enjoy and I listen regularly. My question, well, it's a personal because my rising, my sun is in Taurus and my moon is in Scorpio. So I feel like the way you explained it, I'm complete opposite of
Oh, hang on one second. I'm going to put some because I want Swami to hear your question. Hang on one second.
Hi, Diane.
Hi, good morning, Swami. Nice, so nice to be able to speak with you. Let me just tell you why I feel confused. My sun sign is Taurus. My rising is Scorpio. My moon is Scorpio. So I feel like I'm pulled the way you're describing where the full moon is. I don't know.
Right.
I mean, I'm like both ways, correct? It could
correct.
Be good or bad. I mean, nothing
yeah,
bad,
is,
but it's struggle.
Right. There's no such thing as bad energy. It's just, right. You know, when we're trying to do something with the energy, that is not possible. So one of the things constantly, that's why we say, you know, the more conscious effort we can employ to use the energy that's available to us during these transits is optimal.
Well said. I see that. And that would be the key to get through
right.
it. As everything. Well spoken.
Right.
Well, that was easy. But, no, I understand, and that's what I have to be aware of. And it's already
right.
affecting me. As of yesterday, something occurred and to make me aware. So, you know, I'm dealing with it. It wasn't a positive, but yet I'm, you know, everything else is so good that I'm okay. So I understand I'm being pulled both ways.
Right. And that's a big part of, like, what we talk about, you know, is the more we can focus on what is there and maintain a positive attitude, then the easier it is for us to get through any type of challenges or changes that may take place in the external world. That's one of the reasons why the whole thing of what we say, use what you really do need to validate yourself or use as a symbol to produce the feeling you're happy, becomes a really important strategy. Because if you're looking for something that isn't there, you can actually be experiencing pain or discomfort, whereas if you're focusing on what is there, you're able now to consciously maybe affect positive changes because you're more creative and more imaginative.
Yes, 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 to everything he says. So easy. It's so easy.
Well, I appreciate
you.
Go ahead, Diane.
I'm sorry. No, I'm saying thank you so much and namaste. And
oh, you are so welcome. Namaste to you as well. And thank you for your question. And I want to remind our listeners out there that anytime you have questions or curiosities about the content of our shows, to visit our website. You can email Swami through there as well. And he is also available to do any of your charts, natal charts and birth charts for you as well. So that is a service that he does provide. So let's get back to talking about our program today. Can you just kind of wrap up and maybe summarize for our listeners what's happening with this moon and maybe give us some guidance as to how we should proceed?
Yeah, using the energy that's available to you is optimal at any given time. And I don't know if there's any hard, fast formula that can be applied to everybody other than, you know, the basic principle that we talk about, to use what you need to validate yourself is of the utmost importance. That if your whole sense of self is based on a relationship with something that is unchanging, then you're going to have that constant that will enable you not necessarily to negate what's going on in your outside world, but definitely to make it smaller and more manageable. Because the tangible parts of life are in constant change. And our bodies are accustomed to using, for the most part, external reinforcement to validate ourselves. And that's one of the reasons why they call the outside world the realms of suffering and decay, because it's always changing. And when it changes, you know, our bodies respond as if they're in danger, because now what you're looking for isn't there. Once you have rebirthed your body in the unchanging part of our reality, then you have this constant. Now there's a calmness, there's a stillness, there's a confidence that will permeate your inner environment independent of external changes. That becomes a really optimal position of performance. And to me, that's what all of the scriptures are telling us to do. And that's one of the things that most of the programs that we offer are designed to do, is educate people in how to do that on an experiential level as opposed to just an intellectual level.
Good, thank you. Great summary for that. I want to take this opportunity just to remind our listeners about a couple of things that you can visit us on Facebook. You would look for Institute for Personal Development, and you will see all of our news that's coming up, as well as the spiritual advance that we are going through. And I also want to remind people about the yoga retreat that is coming up in Costa Rica that Swami will be hosting, and that is going to be in February. It's going to be a great trip, and I highly recommend, if you're interested, looking into it. So with that in mind, keep those comments and questions and curiosities coming. And I want to thank you, listeners, for tuning in to The Voice of Yoga. Be sure to tune in next week. We're going to be talking about Veterans Day, and we're going to discuss about the warriors, soldiers, and veterans, and what does that all mean, and how does that relate to Kriya Yoga. Any final thoughts today, Swami?
Well, I would like to invite everybody to join our spiritual advance or any of our classes or programs if they find what we're saying to be intriguing or interesting, and to really try and use this full moon tomorrow maybe to your advantage, that there it is a good time for you to look for using the energy that is around us to keep our lives on course, as opposed to trying to go against the current. You know, there's the old saying, you don't have to push the river, it flows by itself. And a lot of times our conflict is between personal interest as opposed to this goal. So rather than trying to grind your life out, know, just try and get a little bit more in sync with the forces that are readily available to us and start to use that and get behind that to try and give you some momentum. And with that, I would wish everybody a good day. Namaste, and I'll give it back to you.
Good. Thank you, Swami. So thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day.